If you have a Bible, you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. I thought I was going to finish up a certain amount today, but no. We will do this next section in two parts again. But Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's go to God one more time in prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you speak today, right now. And I pray that by your Spirit we could hear. We would hear your voice. We would hear your demands, your comforts, your challenges, your direction. Well, we know that it is by your Spirit. I pray, God, that you would work in us in such a way that we'd be more like you. Help us, Lord, to hear today. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this section today in Matthew 5, I shouldn't have shut it. We are, of course, challenged with the question right off the bat. The obvious question is, why worry? Why worry? Or maybe the question is, how do I not worry? But there's a deeper question here, I think. I think that Jesus is really looking at the deep questions of all humanity. Who am I? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? Why am I here? For people of faith, we ask those same questions in the context of God. Oh God, who am I in you? Oh Lord, what is my purpose? What would you have me do with my life today, tomorrow? What is that we're supposed to be about? Young people ask that question. Get into high school and heading towards maybe college or trades, and they think, what am I supposed to do? You know, God made us kind of seeking people. Part of his image stamped in us, I believe, is we are wanting direction and purpose. We're not made to drift aimlessly and wander and have no purpose, no heart desire, no direction. We want something to believe in and go for and have deep down. What is it? What is it, Lord, you want of us? This section today is a call to action. And it starts with that word, therefore. You know, I think it's very easy to just take this little section, and there's a section heading right there that says, do not be anxious in my Bible. So that must be a separate deal. But it's not a separate deal. That therefore there is very important. Remember what we talked about the last 2 weeks. Jesus calls us to thought before he calls us to behavior. And if you remember, he asks the questions. We want to accumulate treasure? Which of the two is more durable and lasting? Do we wish to be free and purposeful in our movements, in our actions, in our lives? What must our eyes be like to facilitate that in our lives? Do we wish to serve the very best master? We must consider which one is more worthy of our devotion. And then, when we come to the, I hope, is the obvious conclusion in each of those questions. The durability of the real treasure of God. The usefulness of an eye devoted, single-minded, and in purpose and desire for Him and His desires. Oh, the worthy Master who loves us and will care for us. Then, this is how you behave. This is what it looks like then for a disciple who has made these choices. And He says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about your body, your clothes. Don't focus on these things, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Our choice of masters radically affects everything. When He says, don't be anxious about the one master, money, it's because we've rejected that. We don't have to worry about that anymore. That's not my master. When we focus our mind and energy on the other master, it's because we've chosen Him. We see that He's beautiful. He's wonderful. He's lasting. He is a treasure. And that's where I want my focus to be. We refocus our lives to not be so engrossed in our own concerns, but to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To become engrossed in the material comforts of this life is a false preoccupation. It's not worthy of our attention. It's unproductive. Produces more worry. It's unnecessary because God knows and loves us and knows what we need. And it shows, a false view of humanity. Because if we think just in that this body is just something that we need to feed and, you know, water it and keep it going, or if we just think that, you know, life is just this physiological machine and my purpose is to keep it going, just to make it comfortable and happy. If that's your view of humanity, you are falling so far short. Is physical survival the be-all, end-all of our existence? Is that why I'm here? Is that my purpose? If it is, then yes. Gather up treasures, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that is not it. That is not it. His kingdom and His righteousness. He points us out to those who need Him, who need His heart-changing spirit to change Him, to change us, to move us, be more like Him. And it also speaks of our righteous responsibility to the world in social justice and love, salt and light, just like He said all along. So today we're going to look at how Jesus challenges us. All right? Now, verse 25, He gives us the basic principle. And here it is. So, therefore, all right, so we got all the therefore there, right? Therefore, in light of these things, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. All right, so that's the basic idea here. All right? Don't worry about your life or your body because you have the greater treasure, because you have the greater purpose, because you have chosen the better master. And you don't have to worry about those things. And He gives us two arguments to kind of show His point. One is a human argument. He argues from the greater to the lesser, and then He gives us a subhuman argument, arguing from the lesser to the greater. And it'll make sense as we go along here, I think. All right, so first off, worry, you know, then is incompatible with faith. I mean, Paul tells us that in I can't remember where it was. You know, don't be anxious about anything, in prayer and petition, present to God, okay? But He doesn't tell us why. Okay, Jesus here tells us why. So the human argument, the experience that Jesus shows us is that if God gives us life, He gives us two things, life and your body. Why do you worry about your life? Why do you worry about your body? Why do you worry about what you eat and what you will drink or what you will put on? And the argument goes something like, if God gives us life, I can't do that, can I? Nobody can. That's God. My life, my breath is from Him in whom we live and move and have our very being. And this body, this is not me. I can't do anything to make or create or fix or any of it. And if God so cares about life and body and the amazingness of it all, well, then will He not care about food and clothes too? See how it goes from the greater life and body to lesser? I mean, it just makes sense. Jesus is telling us, why do you worry about this stuff? I give you life. I give you a body. If I can do that, will I not take care of these other things for you? And He emphasizes it there in 27. Look at it. I love this one. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? It just doesn't make sense. We cannot do anything. And so why worry? In fact, you know, I mean, studies show that it actually does the opposite. You worry, guess what? You probably live less. Worry, stress, it's hard on the heart, it's hard on the body. He says, don't worry about that stuff. And look at it. I'll take care of it. Again, so we see this coming out of treasure and focus and master. If you've made that choice, then this choice should be an obvious one. But he goes on and gives us another argument here, so to speak. And in this he looks to birds and plants. He goes here from the lesser to the greater. Look what it says. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Father, Heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So you see where he goes? Yeah, birds, animals out there, they get their food. Are you more valuable than a raccoon, a rat, a mouse, a bird? Of course you are. Of course you are. You are made in the image of God. And he says, well, I mean, a sparrow, a little tiny bird, they're tiny. They don't sow, they don't do anything, and yet God provides for them. You are more valuable. They are less. You are more. I take care of them. I will take care of you. And he looks to flowers. Look at them. They're beautiful. They're amazing. They don't do anything. They grow. God brings them up. And I love, he says, even Solomon doesn't look as good as this. And yet, we worry about clothes. And even grass, which today is alive and tomorrow is burned up. If God cares about these things, he cares about flowers, if he cares about grass and how they look, won't he care for you? Won't he care for you? Now, some of you may be left unsatisfied with those arguments, and I understand. Some problems do percolate up. John Stott, in his commentary on this, brings up three problems, and I think they're good ones to consider. All right? Three problems that if you don't properly focus and think about what's going on here, you might be misled. All right? One is this. All right? Believers are not exempt from earning their own living. Okay? Do not take what Jesus is teaching here about sparrows. Hey, sparrows don't have a job, so I should be able to sit around and God will just send me my food. Well, is that what birds do? Do birds just sit out there and the food just comes flying into their throat? No. They're out there getting squirrels. They're working hard right now. If you're out in the woods right now, they are working. They're getting it. This is not an idea to just be lazy. What does Paul tell us in 2 Thessalonians? If you don't work, you don't eat. Okay? Work. It's okay to work. It's all right. The idea here is not about whether or not we should work. It's where we put our worry and our focus and our attention on these things. And the same thing with the plants. I mean, do we just sit around and God clothes us? No, I mean, there's a physiological thing that's happening there. There's a growth, there's water, there's nutrients. And so it doesn't come out of nowhere. All right? It's important to see there that we are not exempt from earning. We are not exempt from working. John Stott talks about a story from Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China. And in 1853, he was on a ship off the coast of the Welsh coast. And it was terrible, I guess. And they were afraid for their lives. And Hudson Taylor thought that it was dishonoring to God to put a life jacket on, a life belt, they call it that. He thought, you know, if I really trust God, I just won't put on the life jacket and he'll take care of me, right? Later on, he kind of thought that through again. And he said this: the use of means ought not lessen our faith in God. And our faith in God ought not to hinder our using whatever means God has given us to the accomplishment of his purposes. Do you see that? It's like the old joke. Rains are coming, there's a flood, and you know, the river's rising, it's going to wash out this home. And so you know, the sheriff comes by this house, and this guy's sitting on his porch, and he says, hey, got to get out of here, water's going to rise up and cover your house. And the guy says, nope, God will take care of me. Well, the water, you know, gets up into the house, and so the guy's on his roof, and a boat comes by and says, come on, we'll save you. And the guy says, nope, God will take care of me. And finally, it's up so high, he's just sitting on the chimney, and a helicopter comes in, and Lord says, come on, grab this. And the guy says, nope, God will take care of me. And the waters rise up and the guy drowns. And he goes to heaven. He stands before God. He says, God, I believed in you. Why didn't you save me? And God says, dude, I sent the sheriff, I sent a boat, and I sent a helicopter. What more do you want from me? God uses the means, and we don't have to ignore those things. Number two problem that we could run into is believers are not exempt from the responsibility to help others. All right? This does not free us from saying, oh, hey, if God takes care of the sparrows and stuff, I don't have to do anything, then I don't have to help the hungry people around the world or anything like that. That is not it. For the same reason we just talked about, God gives us the means, and he says over and over in Scripture, take care of the poor, take care of the hungry, take care of those who are not clothed. It is our responsibility, if we have these things, to share them and not focus on ourselves. You know, it's just so frustrating. There is plenty of food in the world for everybody. Plenty. More than enough. And yet, right now, in Yemen, people are starving. Venezuela, this is amazing this week. So that place is a mess. An absolute mess. And they are starving in Venezuela. On average, the average person this last year in Venezuela lost 11 kilograms. I don't know what that is in pounds. But on average, everybody lost weight. Because there's not food. They don't have food. Inflation is 1,000,000% in Venezuela. People are hightailing out there as fast as they can. That shouldn't be. There's plenty of food in this world. It's how we get it out there and distribute it. And so we are not exempt from responsibility to fight for justice in the world with food and clothing for people. Because there's no reason for it to be. There's plenty, and we should use the means that we have to feed people. And the third problem that we have to avoid as we look at these scriptures is that believers are not exempt from experiencing troubles. Okay? We might get the impression here that, oh, well, he takes care of the birds, he takes care of everything. Flowers, they don't have any problems. You think the sparrows don't have problems? You think the rabbits aren't afraid of the hawk? Okay? In fact, you know, later on in Matthew, you know, Jesus says, I mean, you'll get two sparrows for a penny. And yet when one of them falls, he knows about it. So sparrows fall. Okay, they die. They have problems. Okay, it happens. We are not free from troubles. To be free from worry and to be free from trouble are not the same thing. Right. Romans 8 tells us that, right? Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might be glorified with him. The whole creation is groaning in the pains of childbirth until now. The grass here is cut down and burned. The sparrow falls. If you're up in an airplane and it starts to crash, that God is going to override the laws of gravity for you. We are not exempt. We are not exempt from troubles in this world. This does not teach that. In fact, in verse 34, it says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow's troubles because the troubles you have today, there are troubles today. We're not free from trouble. We're freed from worry. We are free from the folly of worry. That what Jesus is teaching us here is that it's not about the stuff around me. It's about God. And if I've chosen the treasure and the eye and the master, then we can trust him. And then worry is to really show a lack of faith. God works all things for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That's the promise. Even the troubles. Even the problems. And yet, we worry. I worry sometimes. I worry about my truck breaking down. I worry about my children and their health. You know, as a father, you know, one of the talents that we have is thinking through all the terrible things that could happen to our children at any point in time. Right? And mothers are especially good at that. I might ignore it, but mothers don't. We worry about the state of our country. We worry about who's going to get elected. We worry about wars around the world. There's a lot to worry about. There's a lot of terrible things out there. And one response to that is drown it out with accumulating stuff and food and drink. The other reaction would be just to sink into despair and lose hope. What is your worry today? You have them. You worried about your future? Worried about what you're supposed to do next? Are you worried about maybe where your next meal is? Are you worried about your clothes? Are you worried about your vehicles? I'm going down my list, and you can identify with maybe too. Jesus says, why worry? Why? If you've chosen the great treasure, then none of that stuff's going to matter. And if you've focused your purpose, those things aren't going to matter. If you've chosen the good master, if you've rejected that master, I will take care of you. And next week we'll look at that provision. But the first question is, what do I worry about? And can I let go of it? Put it at the cross. Worry will drag you down. Worry will disable you, will paralyze you. You don't have to be worried. And you think about your purpose in life. You're thinking, if you're worried about what I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to go, we'll talk about it next week. This is the Gentiles. They're ambitious for these things, but I have a different agenda for you. And you don't have to worry. One way you can a good help in worry, I have found, is admit it. Admit it to God. Say, Lord, I'm worried about this. Help me. Admit it to each other. Bring it to each other. Say, you know, I'm worried about this. I feel myself being anxious about this. Can you pray with me? Because maybe that solution, maybe that means I'd be right here. We can take care of each other and eliminate some of these worries and troubles that we have. I encourage you this week too. Maybe you can just write down your list of worries. Just as they come up, put it down. And then go to Matthew chapter 6. Say, okay, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me not to worry about these things, but to really, really trust you. Not to be lazy, not to sit around and do nothing, not to take action, not to plan, not to be wise in our dealings, but to not worry about it, but to trust you in all that you have for me. And God will answer that prayer, I guarantee. All right? Let me pray one more time. Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for your provision, how you care for us, how you show us your love. Help us, Lord, not to worry. Help us, Lord, to see worry for what it is, a lack of faith, a lack of trust. And to know that worry is not outside your grace. It is not, Lord, that by your grace, even in our worries, you will bring us through. For we are confident that all things work together for good for those who are called to your purpose. So as we've chosen, Lord, the greater treasure, as we've chosen the greater focus and purpose of life, as we've chosen the good master, that promise in Romans 8, that all things work together for good, is ours. And we can believe it. It is rock solid and will not go anywhere. Help us, Lord, to hang on to that in the storms, to hang on to that in the worries. And that no matter what befalls us, you are good. And we love you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with God in peace this week and give your worries to him.